brothers and sisters in Christ, when last year's 2014's CRCA yearbook came out, one of the first things I did was to check the statistics. And I was disappointed because we actually had 66 less people in our churches than the year before. And if it was just the 66 that year, it wouldn't be so bad, but it's been part of a pattern for many years. All of that despite the fact that we have something of around about half a dozen different church plants. So while the number of our churches has increased, the number of our membership has actually kept dropping. And membership that at one stage stood well over 10,000 now stands at 8,649. May seem encouraging from the yearbook to notice that we have 58 established churches as a denomination, but it's rather discouraging to notice that 24 of those churches have less than 100 members, and three of those churches have membership that is just in the 30s. While I'm grateful that people remain in those churches and keep faithful, it's not a real encouraging sign of denominational health and vitality. In other churches' congregation, the story is much the same, and I can't remember whether it was Kevin who told me this or someone else who was on holidays in January, but worshipping in another town and another church, and that nobody there was under 60. That's not really encouraging. So the overall picture of the Christian church very easily depresses us. In the city, there are a number of churches that are still called Christian churches, but where the gospel isn't heard very often, if at all. And a friend of mine just recently, not so long ago, took his family out of a church to another church because they were not being taught the Bible. And I could go on and on, congregation, with quite a litany of depressing things about the church. But I mention them because this vision here in Zechariah gives us reason for hope. 14 chapters of this book are a series of visions that God gave to Zechariah to encourage his Old Testament church, the Jews. This particular vision this evening that Nathan has read for us, we have a picture of a man with a measuring line in his hand, and some people have suggested that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the important thing is not who this man is, but the important thing is what this man does. And Zechariah is curious about that, so he asks, "Where are you going?" And then the answer is that this man is going out to measure the city, to have a look at its length and its breadth. Now we read that and there's nothing startling, there's nothing profound about that. We've all watched surveyors on the roadside doing their measuring, and especially with development on this side of town, we see that very frequently. Surveyors with their measuring gear, what's so unusual about that? Well, except for one thing, congregation, and that's the name of the city that this surveyor is going out to measure. It's the city of Jerusalem. And I can imagine some of you saying, well, big deal, so it's Jerusalem, so what? Still very ordinary, nothing special. Well, yes, it is, congregation. Because you see, Zechariah and his people have only just recently returned from 70 years of exile in Babylon. And they had come back not to a city, but to a massive pile of rubble. 70 years earlier, almost, the city had been devastatingly destroyed, and as usually happens, very quickly nature takes over and reclaims the land. So what was once a beautiful city is now a wasteland of overgrown rubble. A few people have made a start here and there at rebuilding their homes. A start has been made on rebuilding the temple, the foundation's been laid, but not much more than that. And yet now Zechariah gets this vision of a man actually going out to measure the city. You know what that would be like, congregation? It would be a little bit like somebody coming here onto this land some 27, 28 years ago before the building was here. And someone says, "What are you measuring up?" And someone says, "I'm measuring the Reformed Church." We'd say, this is absurd, you know, the land belongs to the Reformed Church, but there's no church here, so why are you measuring it? We would have laughed. And yet that is exactly what this man is doing in Zechariah's vision. Keep in mind, congregation, that visions like this Old Testament one of Zechariah were usually prophetic, so that God is showing his people what's going to be or what's going to happen. And that makes this a very, very encouraging vision for Zechariah and his people, because these people were struggling against tremendous odds. They're trying to rebuild a whole city with all its infrastructure while re-establishing their own businesses and their own homes. And they're being opposed in that work. There are enemies who don't want to see the city rebuilt. Just go back with me to chapter 1, where God has promised a little earlier to Zechariah that it would be rebuilt. So there is a very strong promise of God in chapter 1. Let me read verse 16. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, when I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt, and the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord Almighty. And now here in this vision, that is kind of reinforced to Zechariah as this man goes out to measure it. This Old Testament surveyor, and he's measuring the length and breadth of a city that isn't yet a city. So sure, so certain will be the rebuilding of this city. It's going to happen. You see how encouraging that would be for Zechariah and for his people. Today we could wonder and say, well, okay, but that doesn't mean all that much for us today. Why should we bother with Zechariah and his rebuilding program? Might be relevant for a church that's doing some rebuilding, but for us, maybe at best it just shows us God keeps his promise, end of story. Maybe it shows us that opposition to God is futile. Despite opposition, it's going to be rebuilt, and we know from history that it was. But I want to suggest, congregation, there is a far more important lesson for us today. And we're looking at this story as New Testament Christians, and we see it in the light of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see far, far greater things than just a city building program. We see God preparing for the gospel and for the New Testament church already in the days of Zechariah. God is getting ready for the coming of the gospel, for the coming of his son. And so Jerusalem is to be that great place where the drama of our salvation is worked out. It's where Jesus walked and talked. Jerusalem is where Jesus was sentenced to death. It's the city outside of which he was crucified for us. And that's why Zechariah and his people need this encouragement. God is making preparations for the gospel of Christ, and he's making it happen despite the hardships and the difficulties and the apathy and the opposition. And so they're playing part, despite all of that, in the great saving work of God. Maybe that makes it still somewhat irrelevant for us today, because we're living after the time when all of that's become a reality. And so we might still say, well, that's all very nice, but how does that actually speak into our situations today, where we struggle with some of those things about the church that I mentioned earlier? Don't lose your place in Revelation, and go with me, please, to Revelation 20 in Zechariah, but go with me to Revelation 21. And I want to read to you some verses there in which there is an interesting parallel between Zechariah and Revelation. Revelation 21, let me read to you from verse 15. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city was laid out with like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, as wide as and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. And then it talks about some of the precious stones that are in that city. Pure gold is the streets, and the pearls are part of the foundations of precious stones, and the gates are pearls. But the parallel is interesting, isn't it? Here is another measuring of a city. And this city too is called Jerusalem, but now it's the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the city that comes down from heaven prepared as a bride for her husband. A picture of the New Testament church at the end of the ages. So, congregation, why is John given a similar vision to Zechariah? Well, because we New Testament Christians often struggle to think positively about the church today. Sometimes we wonder where it will all lead to, if it will lead to where God has promised. We see people drifting away, giving up their faith. We see churches torn apart. We struggle with our petty problems so often in the church, and so often we're just discouraged by the difficulties. And so God wants us to have these visions to encourage us. This vision of Zechariah that is virtually repeated in Revelation, a glorious church that is so real that it can already be measured in its length and its breadth. And God is saying to us this evening, look, my people, this is what you are working at. This is something that is for real. And all your efforts, all your labors in the church, all your activities and all the things you do in my kingdom are for that great day, for that new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. There's a little more to Zechariah's vision. There is an interruption after the first two verses, because that measuring man comes and then he goes, and that at first seems to be about the end of it, and then there is an interruption as another angel rushes onto the scene. And the second angel has an urgent message for Zechariah, and he says to the first angel, quickly run and say to that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. In other words, this city is going to become so huge that it will be bursting at the seams, and it's going to overflow into the surrounding countryside. A picture of the population and the prosperity that cannot be limited any longer by city walls. And I can imagine, congregation, that those additional words were even more encouraging for Zechariah and for his people. I want to remind you, congregation, of something we've seen in the Minor Prophets on a number of occasions, that we're talking about an Old Testament, what the Old Testament calls a remnant. In the second chapter of Ezra, we're told that the population that returned from Babylon was about 50,000 in all, 50,000, and that included the servants, 50,000. Back in the time of David, the army alone in Israel numbered 800,000. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about when we say this is a remnant. It is a depressing leftover of the nation. Or we could think, congregation, of the great days of Solomon, when half of the Middle East paid tribute to Israel. And now here in Zechariah's day, we've got this motley crowd of captives just back from Babylon, and they're a poor tribe of people who are just scavenging through the ruins. And yet God comes in his vision, not only to guarantee that Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt, but that it will overflow with people, again a numerous nation, and that it will overflow with cattle, a sign of their prosperity. And so it's not only going to be rebuilt, it's going to flourish. It'll be large, it'll be prosperous. And so this is not an unimportant interruption. Rather, this brings the vision to a climax as it pictures the love and the generosity of God for his people. Here, brothers and sisters, is an undeserving nation that has only recently been punished for their rebellion against God. And look how God promises now to bless them. He wants them to see beyond those unimpressive, insignificant moments where they're struggling along and battling to do something with what they have, and to look forward in faith that when God's blessings will be immense. They're going to be blessed out of their socks. Again, we could ask what that says to us today, and well, yes, it teaches us to depend on God's faithfulness. We know from history that it happened exactly as Zechariah was told. Jerusalem not only was rebuilt, it even outgrew its walls. God was faithful. But again, congregation, as New Testament Christians, we go further. Behind this, again, looms that spiritual Jerusalem, the New Testament church in glory, the heavenly city of God, of which the earthly city of Jerusalem was just a picture, a symbol, a type. And that heavenly city was enormous in size. In that reading that I had, it mentioned stadia. If you look at the footnotes, You get some idea of what it is in kilometres or maybe in miles in your Bible, but it measured some 9,000 kilometres in circumference. Now, that's a huge city congregation. And it's very wealthy. All those precious stones that it goes on to list highlight that. Now, okay, that's all symbolic, but it is symbolic in a way that God means to encourage us and comfort us. Now, keep in mind that the walls of a city in ancient times, and particularly for Israel, enclosed God's covenant people. God's people were found within those walls. And now Zechariah has this vision, and it's going to spread beyond the walls. And that's already a hint of the people spreading beyond the confines of Judaism. So God's people will embrace not only Judea, but Samaria and the ends of the earth. And verse 11 in this chapter spells it out. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. So at the end of the ages, Jerusalem is a great multitude from every tribe and nation. And you and I need to keep that in mind whenever we think about the church today, particularly in those moments when we're tempted to be depressed. And there's two programs that I enjoy watching on television. I don't know whether you appreciate Songs of Praise on the ABC. I know some weeks it's a bit of a give it a miss. But I enjoy watching that. There's another corresponding sort of program on BVN, the free television channels, from the Netherlands. And just recently they had one there where they hired a whole sporting stadium that was filled with Christians singing God's praises. And I enjoy watching that because it's showing me that there's so many Christians in other parts of the world, so often full churches, singing God's praises. And it reminds me that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is much, much bigger than our little group here at CRCT. And much bigger than the churches of Toowoomba, and much bigger than our denomination. We're just a small, struggling remnant, like the people of Zechariah's day. And so God gives us this vision of Zechariah, and he repeats it to John on the island of Patmos, so that we may know that we're part of something that is huge, it's immense, something of great proportions. And when it comes to measuring the new Jerusalem, then man's measures are very, very limited. It's a great multitude that no one can number. I guess there's a sense, congregation, in which this vision could also be a little disturbing, because in the ancient worlds, a city that couldn't be kept within the boundaries of its walls would not be safe. So where is the safety and security for a people that have spread beyond the walls of the city? That's why the angel says one more thing to Zechariah, and that all of this is possible because God is their defense. He says, "For I will be a wall of fire around her, says the Lord, and I will be its glory within her." So God is not only their defense, he's also their glory. That's highlighting, congregation, two problems that these people struggled with. Problem number one, they'd learned the hard way that while defences were good and necessary, that humanly speaking, you can't depend on them. Jerusalem had massive fortifications, but they'd experienced the utter impotence of man-made walls. And then they'd look around them. There lay the ruins of those walls. They'd been unable to keep them from captivity. And now God is saying, well, you won't have to depend on man-made defences anymore. I'm going to be there like a wall of fire protecting you. Wonderful encouragement, congregation, for a church, particularly at times when it's opposed and persecuted. Problem number two, what would become of Jerusalem without the glory of Solomon's great temple? Now it was gone. All they had was a very, very inferior building that they were just starting to construct. But again, God is going to fill the gaps, and he says, I'll be the glory within you. And in wonderful ways, both of these things were fulfilled. God's glory was seen in Jerusalem in a way in which it was seen in no other other city on planet Earth. God's glory was seen in the streets of Jerusalem in the person of Jesus. He demonstrated there for all to see his power and his love. John says, the Word became flesh and we've seen his glory. God's glory was in Jerusalem. And when it comes to God defending this city with a wall of fire, again, congregation, it's true. God defended the holy city here on earth. The time of Zechariah, Jerusalem faced opposition, and that grew, the hostility, during the time of the Maccabees. And so God defended it until it reached its glory in the time of his Son. But when they rejected the glory of God in Jesus, then the wall of fire was also withdrawn, and the Romans came, and they once more destroyed that city of God. So how can we apply that to us today, congregation? Well, I want to say again, the glory of God is in our midst, in the person of Jesus. May not always seem like it. We look at the church and where's the glory, we say. But brothers and sisters, it's there in the gospel. And that's why when the gospel is not there in a church, then the glory goes. The glory is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in his forgiving love and grace. And one day in the New Jerusalem, we'll see it in all its fullness. Jesus is in the midst of his people. God still surrounds his church with walls of fire. God withdrew that from the earthly Jerusalem, but he will never withdraw that from the spiritual Jerusalem. And I remind you of the words of Jesus where he said, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Despite congregation declines in membership, despite churches being closed and sold as mosques, and we wonder where it's all going to end. You see, God wants us to keep before us, whenever we think about the church, this vision of Zechariah, that the church that we belong to is protected by God with a wall of fire. The church we belong to is full of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when sometimes we struggle, congregation, with the dumb things that we do to one another in the Christian church, and when sometimes things fall apart, keep in mind that the seemingly small and insignificant things that we're doing, we're really doing for something that is huge. The New Jerusalem that's going to come down out of Jerusalem as from heaven as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. Amen.